Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, February 3rd, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Police arrest 43 in gay rights protest at the state capitol in Boise. The State Board of Education votes unanimously to oppose legislation that would allow people to carry guns on college campuses in Idaho. And Idaho Treasurer Ron Crane defends his investment decisions. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Idaho State Police arrested 43 add-the-words activists who blocked all the entrances of the state Senate chambers this morning in Boise. The civil disobedience was a reaction to the legislative committee chair's refusal to hold hearings on legislation to add sexual orientation and gender identity to Idaho's Human Rights Act. The Add the Words campaign has gained little ground in the 8 years since it started, and today's actions represent an escalation in tactics. In addition to the lack of traction for the campaign over the years, Republican lawmaker Lynn Luker of Boise recently introduced a bill to protect the licenses of professionals who discriminate against gays because of their religious beliefs. Senate President Pro Tem Brent Hill of Rexburg was the first lawmaker to try to enter the Senate chambers for today's session, and a number of people wearing black Add the Words t-shirts blocked his way. Photos on the Spokesman Review's website showed black-shirted protesters standing with their hands over their mouths in silent protest. The Idaho Statesman quoted Hill saying when he could not get into the chambers, "We respect your right to protest, but we also have the right to do the job people elected us to do. Those are the chambers, and they belong to all the people, not just this group." He was quoted in the Spokesman Review website saying, "We ask you to vacate the premises. We're glad to have you here in the state capitol. It's the people's building." The report said Hill then asked the protesters to turn their t-shirts inside out and they could watch from the public gallery in the Senate, but they stayed silent. After he went away, Hill returned to ask to get through to his desk, but was rebuffed again. A few minutes later, Idaho State Police arrived. Police asked each protester if they were willing to leave the chambers, and after each refusal, police said, "You're under arrest," and escorted them one by one to the doors of the state capitol building. Outside, police issued misdemeanor trespassing citations to each protester and then released them. The charge carries a maximum sentence of 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. The Statesman reports former Democratic State Senator Nicole Lefevre was an organizer of the protest and initially avoided arrest by standing within the doorway of the Senate, where she was protected by Senate Rule 46A that gives former senators floor privileges. Senate Majority Leader Bart Davis then made a motion to suspend Senate Rule 46A for the day, and the motion passed it 34-0. President Pro Tem Hill then said, "The sergeant-at-arms will please remove the person blocking the door to the Senate." Protesters ranged from teenagers to people in their 70s. 41-year-old Boise resident Ty Carson told the Statesman website, "That sort of discrimination should not happen to any of Idaho's citizens. Until the legislature says it's wrong, the message they're sending is that it's okay." 18-year-old Boise High School student Meredith Butts said she saw discrimination against her friends because of their sexual orientation, but said, "I want people who are my age and people who are younger, really anyone, to not have to hide who they are to prevent harm to themselves." The State Board of Education today voted 6-0 to oppose a bill before the legislature that would allow retired police and those with enhanced concealed weapons permits to carry guns on college campuses in Idaho. The vote came after all 8 presidents of public colleges in Idaho told the board they should adopt a stance against the bill. University of Idaho interim president Don Burnett told the board, "Research does not demonstrate that safety would be enhanced by increasing the number of weapons on college campuses. Moreover, many law enforcement experts are concerned that a proliferation of firearms will make response by law enforcement authorities in crisis situations more complicated and ultimately more dangerous." Boise State University President Bob Kustra said, "There is no current problem or crisis to address on our state's campuses that would be solved by this legislation. We urge the legislature to recognize the authority and oversight of the Idaho State Board of Education and the many precautions Idaho's public universities take to protect our students." Republican Senator Kurt McKenzie of Boise introduced the bill on January 27th, and the State Affairs Committee voted to give the bill a hearing. A similar measure failed in the legislature last year. There is opposition from college administrators as well around the state. At the College of Southern Idaho in Twin Falls, trustees last week voted during a special meeting Friday to oppose allowing those who are not police officers to bring guns to campus. The Twin Falls Times-News reported College of Southern Idaho Board Chair Ed Scholes said at the meeting, "I own somewhere around a dozen of them. I don't bring any of them to this campus, nor do I want anyone else to. Scholes noted, "The Peace Officers Association and the Sheriff's Association and all law enforcement organizations in Idaho oppose allowing citizens to carry guns on college campuses." Trustee Laird Stone said, "I'm a former NRA member. I teach the legal portion of the enhanced concealed weapons. I have an enhanced weapons permit. I've gone through all that training, but there's no weapons on me or in my car on this campus. It's just not the appropriate place for them." State Treasurer Ron Crane defended his office's investments before the Idaho Legislature's Joint Finance Appropriations Committee today by saying the investment decisions his office made were problematic only in hindsight. A legislative audit released last week says Treasurer Crane's failure to always follow internal control procedures to decrease financial risks have cost state taxpayers $10.2 million so far. According to the audit, the amount could rise as high as $27 million. The audit concluded Crane's office should strengthen internal measures, which would keep Idaho from losing money. Here's Crane addressing lawmakers at the state capitol in Boise this morning.
"Managing the state of Idaho's finances for maximum gain carries all the same risks and rewards as your 401k retirement fund and your individual stock portfolio. After all, we all invest in the same markets that rise and fall on the strength of our economy and consumer confidence. While our investments experience the same roller coaster ride that yours did, we chose to ride out the storm. Had we sold our assets at the time, we would have experienced a loss far greater than $10 million. First and foremost, my office investments actually made the state a net profit of more than $122,000 after we sold the troubled assets in fiscal year 2013. Secondly, there has been a claim of $17 million in additional potential losses as a result of our investments. Again, these are not losses until we sell those assets, especially considering that they are moving in the right direction. We have no intention of legitimizing any declines by selling the investments now. They continue to perform. And the suggested potential loss of $17 million is now down to $14 million, and it continues to improve daily. My office has done an outstanding job of navigating turbulent economic waters by protecting our assets, and we will continue to do so. We have avoided dipping into the principal of any of the investments, and we have mitigated any losses with portfolio gains. Like many portfolios around the country, we had one investment manager making decisions for several years. She would make recommendations to me, and I had no reason to doubt her suggestions. However, in August of 2009, we restructured our investment division. Today, we have two CPAs, two investment managers, and one investment professional who is currently sitting for his CFA exam. When a decision is to be made, it is reviewed by this group. It is referred to the Chief of Staff for approval, and if it involves any exception to the investment policy, it must be approved by me. Further, in October of 2013, we did an RFP for an investment consulting firm to give us advice and counsel regarding our investment portfolio. We will also receive monthly reports regarding compliance issues. In November of 2013, a firm was selected and a contract was recently signed.
That was State Treasurer Ron Crane addressing members of the state legislature's Joint Finance Appropriations Committee today in Boise. Democratic State Representative Shirley Ringo of Moscow had questions for Crane.
I'm returning to the topic that with which I've been struggling, and I think I'm there now. So in your line item one, we're investing $200,000 to get some software and a consultant to review your portfolio. It should be the case that that investment would save over $1 million that can remain with the portfolio. Now, is that sounding better?
Madam Chairman.
Treasurer.
Madam Chairman and Representative Regal, yes. We will be saving about $1.2 million in fees that we were paying out. And we're asking for the bond analytics software, which will help our staff do that for a cost of $200,000, yes.
And Madam Chair, if I could follow up.
Yes, you may.
I'm assuming from what I've heard you say that you think that the Treasurer's office is fine with the backup oversight that you have. You wouldn't think we'd be looking to add anything to your staffing to provide further.
Mr. Crane.
Madam Chairman and Representative Ringo, yes, you're exactly correct. As I mentioned in my presentation, we have two CPAs on staff within the investment division now. We also have two other investment managers, and we have another investment professional who is currently sitting for his certified financial analyst exam. So we'll have a CFA on staff as well. He's already on staff, but he will have his CFA certification. In addition to that, then the deputy treasurer, chief deputy oversees that entire department and must approve all transactions.
That was Idaho State Treasurer Ron Crane addressing questions from Democratic Representative Shirley Ringo of Moscow at today's Joint Finance Appropriations Committee meeting in Boise. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP in Moscow. Democratic Representative Gail Tarleton of Seattle has introduced a bill that would require Washington employers with more than 25 workers to provide paid vacation leave for those who work more than 20 hours per week. Tarleton said, "Now we are in a place where workers are machines. We're working all the time. Everyone needs a vacation no matter what salary they earn, what title they hold, or how much seniority they have." Washington Food Industry Association President Jan G. said Tarleton's House Bill 2238 comes at a time when too many issues are impacting grocery store owners in the state, including proposals to raise the minimum wage. The Center for Economic Policy and Research says the United States is the only industrialized nation that does not legislate paid vacation time for workers. The center says one in four workers in the U.S. receives no paid vacation or paid holidays. A planned charter school in Spokane is one of the group of the first eight charter schools to be approved by the State Charter Schools Commission. Pride Prep will be for middle and high school students that are at risk of failing. The school, to be run by former middle school principal Brenda McDonald, will have longer school days and a longer school year. The school plans to require students to take extra math and science, as well as 7 years of a foreign language. According to Krem TV, McDonald said, We're ecstatic that we'll be able to partner with Spokane Public Schools, who provided really key leadership in bringing charter schools to Washington State. Pride Prep is the only charter school approved east of the Cascades. All of the eight schools approved last month plan to open in 2015, except for one in Seattle that plans to open its doors this coming fall. That school is First Place Scholars in Seattle, which will be a privately funded elementary school for homeless children. Water officials in Oregon are debating whether the Mackenzie River near Eugene is contaminated with mercury after the State Department of Environmental Quality proposed adding the Mackenzie to the list of rivers contaminated with the toxic element. Researchers found mercury in some fish in the river, but some officials say the state sampled the wrong fish. Eugene Water and Electric Board Drinking Water Source Protection Coordinator Carl Morgenstern said the state tested migratory fish that also swim in the contaminated Willamette River. Morgenstern said, "Tying it back to the Mackenzie is kind of a stretch to our minds. If there isn't a mercury source to start with, you're kind of chasing a needle in the haystack to find mercury that doesn't exist. If the Mackenzie is added to the list of rivers with mercury contamination, there would be required tests, cleanups, and possible limits to the amount of fish people are allowed to eat from the river." District Judge Michael Griffin last week denied a motion to reconsider his earlier ruling, saying two urban renewal districts within the city of Lewiston can stay open. Nez Perce County officials had sued, saying since the North Lewiston and Nez Perce Terrace urban renewal districts had no new projects planned, the temporary districts should be closed and the county would no longer have to allocate taxes it collects to the districts. However, Griffin ruled closing the districts is discretionary on the part of the city of Lewiston, not mandated under Idaho's urban renewal district laws. Nez Perce County Clerk Auditor Patty Weeks said her office hand-delivered $500,000 from the county's property tax coffers to the city of Lewiston Friday afternoon. The Moscow City Council tonight will be asked to approve the 2014 Farmers Market policies as recommended by the Farmers Market Commission. The Council will also hear a Citizen Commission report on the Farmers Market Commission from City Arts Director Kathleen Burns. The City Council will also hear the 1912 Center annual report from Parks Director Dwight Curtis and Heart of the Arts Incorporated Executive Director Jenny Kostroff. Tonight's Moscow City Council meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. The city will also host a social justice forum Thursday night at 7 p.m. with speakers City Attorney Rod Hall, LGBTQA rights supporter Kathy Sprague, Unitarian Minister Reverend Elizabeth Stevens, Moscow Human Rights Commission Chair Ken Fonts, and questions from the audience. The press release says questions from the audience are encouraged. The Social Justice Forum will be 7 p.m. this coming Thursday. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. There's a 50% chance of scattered showers before 10 p.m., mostly cloudy tonight, low 11, wind chill values as low as 5 below zero. Total nighttime snow accumulation less than half an inch possible. Partly sunny tomorrow, high 17, wind chill values as low as 4 below zero. East winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 20. Partly cloudy, low 0 Tuesday night, wind chill values as low as 17 below zero. East winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 20. Sunny, high near 11 on Wednesday and high 13 on Thursday and Friday, sunny both days. Wind chill values Wednesday night as low as 16 below zero. East wind 11 miles an hour. And lows will be around 4 below zero Wednesday through Friday night. Slight warming trend in the weekend. Currently it's partly cloudy. We're already below the predicted low for tonight. 9 degrees is the temperature at the Moscow Pullman Regional Airport. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio, and that'll be followed by Climate Justice Forum with Helen Yost live in the studios at 7:30. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recording recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow. Be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Thanks for tuning in. This is KRFP Moscow. Have a good night.